mind eating a doe. But did it have to be that one? Liriana felt more than a pang.
You killed her.
She scowled at Jax as she stood up.
You killed that beautiful, free creature.
Jax looked confused.
Well, technically, Zell killed her. I just chased her to him, and he caught her and bam! Snapped her neck with his bare hands and...
He finally noticed Liriana's furious look of disgust.
Did I miss something? Why are you acting so crazy about this? Did they teach about hunting the same day they taught pants?
Liriana turned away with a snort.
You're an insensitive boar, and you don't understand anything.
Really? Because I think I'm the insensitive boar who just killed our dinner while you sat around here moping.
I thought you said Zell killed our dinner,
Miles interjected. Jax shot him a menacing look.
Maybe in Fancy Pants Lightspire, you can eat your truffled scones with gold-flecked sauce, he said. But here, in the West, you eat what you have to, and that means killing meat.
You didn't have to kill her, Liriana insisted. And to be so callous, to boast of snapping her neck like it was sport, like she meant nothing at all, like she was just a...
We thank you, Mother,
Zell spoke, cutting Liriana off. We all turned to look at him. He sat cross-legged by the doe's body, his eyes shut, and spoke in the tone of someone repeating something he'd said 1,000 times.
We thank you for the bounty of your flesh, that it may sustain us through our hunger. We thank you for the gift of your fur, that it may protect us from the cold. We thank you for the gift of your life, that ours may go on.
We all stood silent. I looked from Liriana to Jax, but neither had anything to say. Zell's words had taken the fight right out of all us. Zell tossed Jax a skinning knife, and Liriana turned away. As Jax hunkered over the doe and set to work, Zell stood up and walked off toward the thick trees at the edge of the camp, and I couldn't help myself in following him. "Was that a Zatochi prayer?" I asked. "Something to honor your gods before you eat?" I was trying to impress him. Why was I trying to impress him? Zell glanced back at me.
No, I just made it up because it sounded like the kind of thing you'd want to hear.
I saw something in his face I'd never seen before. A knowing glint in his eyes, and the tiniest hint of a playful smirk. Then he stalked off into the trees. I watched him go, wordless, and felt my cheeks burn and my heart quicken, like it had down in the tunnels. What was it with me and this guy? How did I keep being so wrong about him? And why did I even care? Zell hopped nimbly over a log and vanished into the mist. I shook my head, let out a deep breath, and turned back to the camp.
Come on, Miles, I said. Let's get a fire going.
Chapter 13. My stomach full, I slept through the day like a baby, and only woke up around sunset. I shifted from my huddled ball on the grass and sat up, blinking in the grove. The sky was a dull orange, the sun almost out of sight, coloring the whole world as if we were looking at it through a pane of stained glass. Jax was off by the horses, setting up our bags. Liriana was still asleep in the hollow of the tree. But it was Zell who caught my eye, which, given that he was shirtless, was not all that surprising. He stood in the center of the grove, and my eyes wandered over his toned back, his lean and sinewy arms, his taut stomach with just a few dark hairs trailing down to his pelvis. But it wasn't how he looked that had caught my attention, just most of it. It was how he moved. Zell had his eyes shut, and a look of perfect, serene calm on his face. In his left hand, he held one of the swords we'd taken from the Dolan brothers, the one with the purple stone in its pommel. In his right, he held a dagger, and its sleek metal sparkled in the orange light. He breathed in slowly and deeply, his whole chest rising. Then he moved, and it was more graceful than anything I'd ever seen. His eyes still shut, he weaved around the grove, his sword spinning in a blur of motion, his stance constantly shifting and adjusting. He would turn to strike behind, then duck low, then thrust his back out, angling himself so flat at the waist he almost bent in half. It was like he was fighting a dozen invisible enemies, sure, but it somehow seemed effortless, elegant, like a river flowing against rocks. This was a practiced series of movements, almost like a dance, and it was just as captivating to watch. In Castle Waverly, everyone always said the Zatoichi were simple, crude warriors who had no technique and couldn't appreciate beauty. But this most definitely had technique, more technique than I'd ever seen our soldiers use, and a hell of a lot of beauty, too. Zell finished with a lunge, a roll, and a graceful spin that left both blades outstretched. He stood there like that, eyes still shut, sweat trickling down his heaving shoulders and chest. Then he shifted back to the original position and started again. "He's been doing this for an hour now," Miles said. I turned back to see him squatted behind me, a handful of mushrooms in his hand. "What do you make of it?"
"It's really beautiful."
Miles shifted, uncomfortable.
"It looks nice, yeah. But would all those fancy twirls and spins really do him that much good against a 6-foot knight in full armor coming at him with a broadsword?"
"Or against your mom with one of the mage killers?" I said, and Miles was silent.
"Hey!"
Jax shouted from across the glade.
"Quit gawking at the Zatoichi and come get saddled up!"
Lyrianna stirred in her tree, grumbling in a distinctly non-princess-like manner.
"I'd like another hour of sleep, please."
"And I'd like to not get killed by Zell's psycho brother when he catches up to us."
Jax clapped his hands loudly, startling Lyrianna awake.
"We ride! Now!"
The ride through the second night was a little better than the ride through the first one, if only because I knew it was possible to do it without dying. I could feel my night vision improving, and I was doing a better job identifying trees as trees and not as looming skeletal monsters ready to kill me. I still didn't like all the eyes glinting at me, especially the ones that came in sets of three, two big and one little. Death's eyes, those birds were called, and the name didn't do anything for their reputation. Sometime around the middle of the night, we came upon a slow-moving creek and had to cross it, pushing our horses knee-deep in the dark, still water. Lyrianna hung on tightly to my back, her eyes shut. I put on a brave face, but my mind was spinning, with images of every terrible thing that could be lurking in the water. Eels, or scuttlers, or bone crabs, primed and ready to attack Muriel's legs and send us tumbling into the creek. Oh, I'd named our horse Muriel. That had happened too. There was nothing lurking in the water, or nothing that wanted to mess with us, at least. We crossed the creek without incident and pushed forward. That gave me the most confidence of all. Maybe the forest wasn't that scary at night. Maybe the wolves and scuttlers and scarlings were all in my head. Maybe this whole journey wouldn't be that bad. Then we came upon the cottage. It was almost morning. We were all feeling tired, swaying on our horses, aching like we'd been put through a grinder. I was already imagining how good it would feel to lie down on some grass and eat some venison, when Zell abruptly jerked his horse to a stop. He threw up his hand, clenched tight into a fist, and even though he'd never taught us any codes, it was clear it meant stop. We reared our horses behind him. My heart quickened. What did Zell see out there? What was about to attack us? Then nothing attacked, and I realized Zell wasn't looking. He was sniffing. I smelled the air, and then I got it too. The faint but undeniable scent of smoke. Something was burning nearby. Smoldering, maybe, like a bonfire that had just been put out.
"A campsite, maybe?" Jax whispered. "Should we check it out?"
Behind him, Miles shook his head wildly.
"Are you kidding? No, absolutely no. We should get the hell out of here."
"Shh,"
Zell hissed. Whatever else was going on, he clearly had a plan of his own. He slid off his horse and took a few steps forward, pushing through a large bush. He gazed out for a moment, then he gestured for us to come join him. I looked to Jax, who just shrugged, and so we dismounted and went Zell's way. When we pushed through the bushes, we saw that we were up on a small hill. Down at the base of it was a wooden cottage, or at least what was left of it. It wasn't on fire anymore, but it had been quite recently. The frame was a charred ruin, with thin columns of black smoke reaching up toward the sky like grasping fingers. Two of the walls had collapsed. Bricks were scattered everywhere. The ceiling had fallen in, giving us an eerie view in from above, like a dollhouse from a nightmare. There had been some kind of a battle here. Deep rifts were cut into the standing sides of the cottage, and a pitchfork jutted out of a nearby tree. A man lay on his stomach just behind the cottage. He was wearing a tan work shirt and had a bushy beard, exactly the kind of stocky woodsman you'd imagine would live out here in the forest. I couldn't make out much of his face, though, because his head had been split completely in half. Another man? No, just a boy. Lay a few feet away at the base of the hill. A woodcutter's axe was embedded in his back, just below the shoulder blades. The boy must have been trying to run away when someone threw it. "Shit," I whispered. Liriana gasped. Miles turned away, looking sick.
"Bandits?" Jax whispered. "Maybe,"
Zell said, but he didn't sound like he believed it.
"I need a closer look."
"You what?" I asked, not like it mattered. Zell was already sliding down the hill toward the ruined cottage. Before I could think better of it, I went after him, and Jax followed, despite Miles's protests. There was something here Zell was after, something he wanted to find, and I needed to understand what it was. From the distance, we'd only smelled smoke, but now that we were down at the cottage, there were far worse scents to deal with. Blood, rot, bile, and shit. Flies buzzed around the two bodies in thick black swarms. I pulled my shirt over my nose. Jax just shook his head.
"What the hell?"
I couldn't find words for a response. I'd been to funerals, of course, but I'd never seen a body like this, all raw and bloated and rotting. It took every ounce of strength I had not to throw up everywhere.
"They were a family," Liriana said,
her voice flat and hollow. I turned back, surprised to see her standing behind me, but there she was. She stared at the carnage with a distant look, and I could see her hands trembling.
"A father and son, living out here, chopping wood, probably to sell in town, growing their own crops, taking care of each other. A good life."
I wanted to tell her to head back up the hill, but then Miles let out a horrified cry from the other side of the house. I rushed over to him and then really wished I hadn't. There was a woman there, the mother, and she... I turned away, my stomach roiling, my eyes burning. It was bad. Let's leave it at that. Liriana stood behind me, one hand over her mouth. Zell stood next to her, and I could see the exact moment he saw the woman's body. Something in him changed instantly. His eyes went distant for a moment, and then they lit up with fury. His nostrils flared, and he gripped the side of the house so tight that the charred wood crumbled in his fist.
"That Kenzar,"
he snarled, and then more in Zatochi, words I couldn't understand but I could tell weren't good.
"Zell?" I took a step toward him. "What's wrong?"
"My brother did this,"
he hissed, as if he could barely get the words out. He was shaking, actually shaking.
"He and his men. This is their work."
"How do you know?"
He glanced up at me, and his eyes were so furious that I actually jerked back.
"I just do."
"But why?"
Liriana asked.
"Why would he do this?"
"Because they defied him. Because they lied to him,"
Because he was bored,
Zell said through gritted teeth.
We have to go, now. These people were killed no more than a day ago, which means my brother and his men are still nearby. We need to get into hiding and...
Hey!
Jax yelled from inside the cottage.
This one's still alive!
We all spun his way. My brother came stumbling out through the cottage's ruined wall, holding a young girl in his arms, maybe 5 or 6 years old. Her black hair was matted to her face with dried blood, and her clothes were soaked crimson. Jax staggered onto the grass and lay her down, and if it hadn't been for his shouting, I would have thought she was dead too. Her eyes were empty and distant, and her breath came in the weakest, tiniest gasps.
Titan's breath,
Lyriana whispered, and rushed over. She cradled the girl's head in her arms and delicately lifted her shirt to see the wounds. Based on her reaction, it wasn't good. With a sharp hiss, Lyriana began turning her hands over, clenching and unclenching her fists. Her rings flickered green, but didn't quite glow, like a candle failing to light in a strong wind.
I barely begun studying healing, she muttered. Come on, come on.
Zell's expression had shifted. He didn't just look angry anymore. There was something else, a barely controlled panic behind his eyes.
Leave her. We have to ride, now.
We can't just let her die,
Jack said, and Lyriana didn't even respond, just kept turning her hands and clenching her fists over and over in desperation. Her rings kept flickering, but they never quite glowed.
She'll die no matter what,
Zell barked. He was afraid now, afraid for the first time since I'd met him, and that terrified me.
And we'll all be dead, too, if we don't go now.
I stepped toward him cautiously. Zell, I said softly. We have to try. His hand shot out and grabbed my arm, and he began pulling me back toward the hill.
No!
He screamed, and suddenly his hard, cold front cracked open, and I saw what was underneath. It wasn't brutality or viciousness he kept buried, but fear and pain, a pain I couldn't even begin to understand, a pain he had to fight every second to keep down or else he'd explode. He was just like the mage killer, a tempest trapped, raging behind a calm front.
Zell!
I shouted as loud as I could straight into his face. I dug in my heels and pulled my arm out of his grasp. He froze, staring at me with wild eyes. I reached out and took his hand. It was shaking in mine.
Zell,
I repeated softer.
We can't leave her. We just can't.
We stood there for a moment, his eyes blazing into mine. And I wondered if he was going to force us all back onto the road at sword point. Then he breathed in deep and turned away without a word. He unsheathed his blades, facing the road like a vigilant statue. The message was clear. Something split in my heart in that moment. I didn't quite understand why, but I could tell that this was one of the hardest things he'd ever had to do. I reached out and squeezed his shoulder, just once, then turned back to the others. The girl died half an hour later. Lyriana had done everything she could. She tried dozens of different magical forms, her rings flickering, flickering, but never glowing. After that, she'd gotten desperate and tried to do a medic's work, cleaning the girl's wounds and even forcing breath into her lungs. But none of it worked. Soon the girl lay there, as cold and still as the rest of her family. Lyriana cradled her, and her arms were stained red up to the elbow. Miles and Jax stood uselessly beside the princess, a limp bandage dangling in Miles' hands. Lyriana was silent, breathless. Everything suddenly got much colder, and a light frost crept into the dirt by her feet. The air around her crackled and pulsed with tiny charges of magic, like we were at the heart of a lightning storm. That hot, electric smell filled the air. Her rings pulsed a hard, icy blue. Was this more heart magic? Was she about to lose control? Lyriana turned away. The pulsing feeling vanished and the air went back to normal.
I'm fine, she said, forcing her voice to harden. We bury them. With respect. I thought Zell might object to another delay, but he didn't say a word. He was still standing guard in the road, and I'm pretty sure he hadn't moved a muscle. So the rest of us found some shovels and dug side by side in the soft dirt. A light rain began to pour, unusually warm, and the ground seemed as the droplets hit it. Once we'd had four graves dug, Jax went to carry the bodies, but Liriana didn't let him. Instead, she used her rings, gently lifting and carrying them toward the graves, before delicately lowering them in. They almost looked peaceful, like they were floating down a river, eyes shut, soaking in the sun. After the bodies were down in their graves, Liriana snapped her fingers together, creating four little glowing orbs of light that hovered above the graves and then gently drifted up, over our heads, into the stars. May they light your journey to the heavens, Liriana said, where the Titans will greet you with open arms. I thought she might cry or break down again, but now she held firm, her voice just barely wavering. I walked over to stand next to her, and then, impulsively, I took her hand. Jax tossed his shovel aside and joined us, throwing his arm around my shoulders, and Miles stood awkwardly next to him until Jax threw an arm around him, too. I breathed in deep, feeling the warm rain against my skin, watching as the raindrops sparkled white in the light of the orbs above. Footsteps sounded behind me, soft and meticulous, and I glanced back to see Zell. He'd finally left his guard, I guess, and was standing right behind me, gazing up at the lights with an unreadable expression. He whispered something under his breath. I didn't have to ask this time if it was a Zatochi prayer. We stood there like that, the five of us, gazing up at Liriana's orbs as if they were the coastal lights. Here we were, standing by this ruined cottage, wanted dead by the entire province, a band of brutal mercenaries after us, and yet in that moment, I felt safe, protected, loved. I felt like I'd been out in the cold my entire life, and had just for the first time stepped into a warm house with a crackling fire. I looked around from face to face. We all knew the same thing. We were in this together. Until the very end. Chapter 14. We rode hard for a few hours to make sure we were clear, before settling down in an overgrown, abandoned quarry. We built a weak fire in a stone pit, burning lichens and old dry twigs, and sat around it in a circle, quietly eating our venison. No one really wanted to talk, not after that. So I took the lead. I think it's time you told us about your brother, Zell. Zell looked up.
What's there to tell? Let's start with, what in the frozen hell is wrong with him? Jack said. I mean, he is evil, right? You know that.
When Zell finally responded, he spoke slowly, as if carefully selecting every word.
My brother is different. Even as a child, we'd chase each other around the halls like all brothers. But when he caught me, he'd always want to hit, to bite, to hurt. Then there were the animals he'd get his hands on. The dogs and cats and the rabbits. And then there was.
He trailed off, swallowing hard. Did this have something to do with his reaction back at the cottage? With that panic in his eyes? What had Raz done to him? Zell, I started, but he shook his head and cut me off.
Our father is one of the greatest warriors in the history of our people. I always wanted to be like him, to vanquish my enemies, to bring glory to the clan. But that's what it was always about for me. Honor. Raz, though. Raz just liked to watch things suffer. To watch people bleed. The more innocent and vulnerable,
the better.
Like I said, evil, Jax replied. And I can't wait until he's in charge of all the Zatochi when your dad bites it.
That's not how it works, I jumped in. They hold a conclave, and all the chiefs make their pitch and... I realized the others were staring at me. It doesn't matter.
I worried about Raz,
Zell went on.
So did our mother. He was dangerous, unhinged, and he sought out men like himself for his mercenary band, men with the same appetites. We tried to convince my father, but he...
Wait, your mother?
Miles chimed in.
You and Raz have the same mother and the same father, so how are you a bastard?
Zell looked at his feet. The whole time I'd known him, I hadn't seen him express anything resembling embarrassment. But now his cheeks flushed with shame.
With my people, a bastard isn't born. He's made. He's made when he disgraces his family. When he shames his clan. I'm a bastard because I...
He sighed.
I don't want to talk about it.
Damn, Miles, Jack said. You just made Zell uncomfortable. That takes skill.
I turned my head sideways, trying to understand Zell's expression. I couldn't. What was it that he had done? I'd known him less than a month, but I was sure he couldn't have done anything worse than Raz. Something had happened. Something to cause all that fear and pain inside him. And that something had led to his disgrace. But what? I didn't know. I couldn't know. The conversation had nowhere to go after that, so we ate in silence, then went to sleep. I rested badly. It wasn't exactly easy to sleep on a bed of sharp pebbles in the heat of the sun. But I didn't mind because it made sure that I woke up early, just as the sun was setting, just as Zell was starting his training slash prayer slash whatever. I found him at the center of the quarry, practicing. He was doing a slightly different routine this time. Fewer twirls and rolls, more stabs and blocks. But he still had the same precise focus, the same rhythmic, graceful moves. He barely looked up as I approached him, and only really stopped when I stood right in his path. Hey, I said. I'd like you to teach me to fight. Zell blinked at me, perplexed, as if I'd just asked him to teach me to fly.
Why?
Because I don't want your brother to kill me, so teach me how to fight him.
My brother is second only to my father in skill. You wouldn't have a chance against him.
Fine, then he'll win, but I want to at least go down with a fight. Zell stared at me curiously, and I met his gaze. I could tell we were thinking about the same thing, that cottage we'd passed. The woman behind it. The girl in Liriana's arms. The unspoken weight of that morning hung over us, binding us, and it was enough.
All right, Zell said. I suppose this could work. I've been watching you move for some time, and you do have a natural grace.
I raised an eyebrow. You've been watching me move?
I did watch you as a... There's a way that you move that...
He gave up and shook his head.
It doesn't matter. Do you want me to train you or not?
I do. Zell nodded and walked off to go root around in a pile of debris at the quarry's edge. He returned a minute later and tossed me a long oak branch. What is this?
It's a stick.
Right. Should have seen that coming, I sighed. Why am I holding a stick?
If you want to learn to fight with a sword, you have to learn to fight with a stick.
Zell stepped back, then assumed the grounded position he always began his routine with. Legs apart, feet planted, knees slightly bent. His hands were empty, though. The sword and dagger lay in the dirt.
Assume this stance.
Okay. I tried as hard as I could to copy his position, but felt awkward doing it, like the first time I took a dance lesson, or Really, any time I took a dance lesson. How's this? Zell could barely hide his disappointment.
Know how most warriors die?
With honor?
No, on their backs.
Zell darted toward me, cleared the gap between us in one stride, and kicked me in the back of my ankle. My legs flew out from under me, and with an incredibly ungraceful flailing of my arms, I fell hard on my ass in the hard dirt. It hurt. A lot.
What the hell?
I heard Jax yell from back in the camp, and I struggled to turn myself around.
It's fine, Jax!
I shouted back.
He's just teaching me how to fight!
Pushing myself up with my arms, I could see Jax back by the fire pit. He stared at me, tried to say something, then threw up his hands in defeat. I hoisted myself and turned back to Zell. He had his head cocked to the side, scrutinizing me. I could tell what he was thinking. Was I going to give up now? My back flared with pain, probably from where I'd landed on an exceptionally pointy stone. My thighs hurt from the riding and from the anticipation of the more riding we'd have to do. It was starting to dawn on me just how hard learning to fight would be, and how outmatched I'd be even if I tried. And I desperately wanted to go lie down for a short, sweet nap. But I thought of that family again, and I wondered how many cottages like that Zell had seen, how many of his brother's victims he'd been forced to bury. "Let's try again," I said to Zell, and planted my feet firmly in the dirt. Chapter 15. Not much happened over the next few days. Well, that's not true. Plenty of things happened. To avoid Raz and his men, we rode even farther away from the main roads, pushing through woods so deep we had to ride our horses in single file just to make it through the dense trees. Sometimes we had to hop off and hack through the bushes to clear a path. Once, while descending a steep, crumbling slope, Jax's horse tripped and Miles tumbled off. It was only Liriana's quick reflexes with her lift magic that stopped him from plunging to his death. Another time, after we'd made camp in a sunken ravine, a trio of wolves came upon us. We sat there, tense, weapons in our hands, as they glared at us with their yellow eyes and their bared teeth. But after what felt like an eternity, they ran back off the way they'd come. Miles started joining Zell and Jax on the hunt, and while I don't think he ever caught anything, he seemed damn proud of himself for participating. We had a terrifyingly close encounter with a group of men, bandits, probably, stalking through the woods at night with torches held high. We hid from them in a damp grotto, holding our breaths, and they came within 20 feet of stumbling upon us. What I mean, though, is that things settled into a routine. I'd wake up in the early evening and train with Zell for an hour, slowly learning the Kelzon, his flowing, dance-like fighting style. This training consisted a lot of me falling down, flipping over or getting hit with a stick when I failed to block one of his attacks. It left me bruised, bleeding, and aching with every muscle in my body. But even after just a few days, I could feel myself starting to improve, could feel my reflexes sharpening and my body hardening. The hurt started to feel good, in a weird way. The hurt of progress. The hurt of growth. I started to like it. And maybe I was just imagining it, but I think Zell was starting to like teaching, too. He smiled at me more, and laughed more, and I could see a real pride in his eyes when I mastered one of his stances or blocked one of his jabs. Maybe he was a natural teacher. Or maybe, maybe, he just liked spending time with me. We kept up our push southeast, riding through the nights and camping through the day. Between the guys hunting and Liriana's growing, we were never hard up for food. Zell even killed a woods ram and fashioned us capes from its shaggy gray fur to keep us warm. Liriana objected for about 10 minutes, but put hers on as soon as a cold night wind blew in. The landscape began to change as we moved farther and farther from the coast, the redwoods giving way to more oaks and firs, the roads getting rarer, and the forest growing quieter. We could now see the Frostkiss Mountains in the distance, massive blue jags looming toward the sky, the barrier that blocked off the west from the rest of Novaris.
and despite a few setbacks and scares, we began to travel more confidently, more capably. It wasn't just our comfort on the road, though that helped. It was our comfort with one another. We started talking more as we rode, and spending more time together in the camps. Liriana told us about growing up in Lightspire, about her cousin Alarion, about how she never even stepped outside the palace until she was 6 years old. Miles and Jax invented a game where they tried to make each other guess things they were thinking of by describing them in rhymes, and while Miles always won by crafting elegant stanzas, Jax did a surprisingly impressive job of finding new rhymes for ass and tits. Even Zell and Jax started to thaw toward each other. Jax taught Zell about all the beasts of the West, and Zell taught Jax how to hunt them. Best of all, there had been no more signs of Raz and his men, and that cottage and the poor family started to fade into memory. 12 days after we left the beach, we reached the banks of the Markson River, and I realized the biggest change in our group's mood. We were starting to have hope. We made a camp on the river's west bank, settling down in a cluster of trees while the current roared next to us. The Markson was the largest and longest river in the west, running south from the Zatochi Tundra before arching west to meet the ocean at the bottom of the coast. Most travelers crossed it by passing through Bridgetown, a legendary hub of trade that spanned the Markson's narrowest point. That was a no-go for us, obviously. We'd have to head north, toward some of the fishing villages, and hope to cross using one of their bridges when no one was looking. I didn't mind. Camping alongside the river meant fresh fish, not to mention a place to wash off the dirt and grime. Zell even shaved, scraping the edge of his dagger along his face until it was bare. Miles and Jax passed. I think they were starting to like their scruffy, stubbly beards. There was another reason this place made me emotional, one I didn't share with the others. The Markson River was the farthest I'd ever been from home. When I was 8, my father and I had ridden out to Bridgetown for their famous Festival of Masks. We'd stayed in the estate of Lord Collinwood, whose house governed the town, and at night my father and I had walked through the festival hand in hand. I remember being transfixed by it all, the floating lanterns, the musicians playing in the streets, the people in masks, some scary, some beautiful, dancing and drinking and singing all around us. I remember so clearly when, at the festival's climax, they set a giant effigy in the river and lit him aflame. I was so scared, but my father comforted me, let me hide behind his legs, and told me it was just a big wooden scarecrow, nothing more. I didn't like that memory anymore. Or, at least, I didn't want to like that memory anymore. I blinked the tears out of my eyes and turned back to our camp. Liriana and I sat together on a log, and Miles was on his knees in front of us, blowing on a pathetic campfire to try to get it to catch. Jax and Zell were down by the river's edge, gutting some fish they'd caught. I could just barely hear snippets of their conversation over the river's roar.
"I don't see the problem," Zell said. "A beast with claws and great brown hair. I'm thinking of a big cave bear."
You can't tell me what you're thinking of," Jax replied, exasperated. "You make up the rhyme, and I guess what it's talking about. If you tell me it's a bear, there's nothing for me to guess."
"Is the point not to make a rhyme?"
"Well, that's part of the point, but..." "Damn!" Miles pounded his fist into the dirt by the campfire's edge. It looked like he'd just barely gotten the kindling alight, but the logs lying over it weren't giving.
Sorry. Just dealing with this."
"May I try?" Liriana offered.
"Well, sure, I suppose. But the branches are really damp, so I don't know if you'll..."
Before Miles could finish, Liriana raised her hand and twisted her fingers in the air, the gesture I recognized as grow. The fire instantly caught, bursting up from the branches as if oil had been tossed on it. Miles tumbled onto his back in surprise.
"How did you..."
Liriana shrugged. "Fire grows, same as anything else."
"That's incredible."
Miles picked himself up and took a seat opposite us. He had a pensive expression, like he was debating whether or not to speak, and then went for it.
Your Majesty, is it true that only people born in Lightspire can be mages? I mean, I know most are, but I am a really quick study, and I'd do anything I had to.
Lyrianna said, as if she'd been dreading this question. You speak the truth, Miles. The Titans blessed Lightspire and Lightspire alone with the gift of magic. That's the heavenly mandate, the entire basis for the Valeris dynasty's rule. No soul born outside the city has ever possessed magic, and none ever will.
Oh.
Miles tried and failed to hide his disappointment. But there are many other things you could do. For every mage, there are a dozen scholars studying the lore of the Titans, deciphering their buried secrets, and searching ancient barrows for more rings, Lyrianna said. I think you'd be great at that.
Professional bookworm? Yeah, that's right up his alley, Jack said.
He and Zell had walked over while we were talking and settled down with us. Jax rested on the log next to Miles while Zell set up skewers for the fish.
How about me? Is there a perfect job in Lightspire just waiting for me to come along?
Well, that depends, Lyrianna replied. What do you want to do?
Jax blinked, unprepared to be taken seriously.
Well, I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, I was raised to be a stable hand. Figured one day maybe I could be a stable master or something like that.
Is that what you want?
I don't know.
Jax blinked.
Maybe. Not really, I guess. I don't think I really had much of a choice.
You do now, Lyrianna smiled. When we reach Lightspire, you'll all be rewarded with wealth, status, land. You'll have servants of your own, and you'll be able to do whatever you want to. When we get there, you can put your old lives completely behind you. You'll be starting anew.
We all looked around at one another, letting the gravity of her words sink in. Jax let out a long, slow whistle, then snapped his fingers.
I've got it. Do they have brothels in Lightspire? Because I always thought it'd be fun to run a brothel.
Must you ruin every single conversation with a crude joke? Lyrianna crossed her arms. Can you not be serious about anything?
Jax grinned.
On the contrary, I'm very serious when it comes to brothels. There is one in Millertown. Whew, you should see these girls.
Lyrianna turned away with a sniff of disgust. Just then, Zell perked up, apparently joining the conversation for the first time.
I've got it. Whether man or fish or ram or deer, a bear is the beast that all should fear.
Jax let out a groan and cradled his head in his hands.
I hate this guy. I hate him so much.
Everyone laughed, including Zell, who I'm pretty sure was just messing with Jax at this point. But I felt distracted. Back on that beach, the idea of actually reaching Lightspire and reaping the royal benefits had seemed like an absurd fantasy. The sort of lie people tell themselves to keep moving. Sure, sure, we'd get our happily ever after. But now, halfway to safety, it was dawning on me that it might actually happen. Holy shit, I might actually get to Lightspire. I might be, well, if not a noble, then as close as can be, and certainly more well-off and wealthy and powerful than I'd ever be in the West. I'd have all the dresses and carriages and dashing suitors I'd ever want. The thought was incredible, amazing, overwhelming. So why did it make me feel so sad? That night, we looked for a bridge to cross the Markson. We didn't dare risk riding out in the open, not until we were sure we had a clear run. So Zell and Jax went off to scout the way, arguing about who'd win a fight, a western great cat or a Zatochi cave bear. They took Lyrianna with them this time. Her glowing balls of light were proving increasingly useful at navigating,
and were safer than sunstones, given how quickly she could snuff them out. Miles and I stayed back to watch the horses and our supplies. I didn't mind. My body was aching even more than usual. Training with Zell that day had consisted of him honing my reflexes by having me attempt to catch rocks. Mostly, I just got hit with rocks. I sat by the water's edge, staring into the river. A thin veil of clouds blocked out the sky overhead, but they'd part just long enough for a beam of moonlight to light up the rushing water. If I squinted and stared way, way down, I could see the faintest light in the distance. Bridgetown, shining like a candle in the dark. "Hey," Miles's voice said from behind me.
"Tilla, I found something for you."
I glanced back as Miles walked out of the forest brush. To be honest, I hadn't noticed he'd been gone. He plopped down next to me and extended his hand, revealing a palm full of green speckled berries shaped like little bells.
"No way!"
I beamed.
"Bellberries? Where did you find them?"
"Well, they tend to grow along the Markson, and I remembered they were your favorite, so I just went scrounging and, you know, got lucky."
Miles blushed a tiny bit.
"Go ahead. Have some."
He dumped a few into my hand, and I popped one into my mouth. It was perfect. Tart but sweet, with just a tiny sour hint. I savored the taste, letting the juices melt into my tongue.
"So good,"
I said, and waited until the taste had completely faded before opening my eyes.
"How did you know they're my favorite?"
"Don't you remember?" Miles asked. "It was at the harvest feast, when we were, what, 7 years old? My mother and I were visiting Castle Waverly, and you'd have this big fight with your head maiden, so we decided to run away. We snuck out the south gate and made it all the way to Harkin's Beach with a knapsack full of bellberries and scones."
He paused, waiting to see if I'd remember.
"We hid on the beach all day, talking about how we were going to be vagabonds and travel around robbing people and never have to have parents again. It was such a good day."
He looked out at the water, a wistful glaze in his eyes.
"But then you ate all the bellberries and wanted more, and we ended up just going back. Our parents hadn't even noticed we were gone. You remember that, right?"
"Kind of. Sort of. Maybe. Not really."
But obviously this was like a hugely significant memory for Miles, so I felt guilty and nodded.
"Oh, yeah. Yeah, that day. That was great."
"Yeah, it was,"
Miles said, still staring out. Maybe it was the moonlight, but he looked totally different. Nothing like the soft, chubby boy who'd sat down opposite me at the bastard table. Our time on the road had changed him. His features looked harder, stronger, and I had to admit the layer of blonde stubble lining his chin looked pretty good on him. He looked like he'd lost 10 pounds.
"You think about what Liriana said? About the new lives we'd have in Lightspire?"
"Thinking about nothing else," I replied, trying to sound more upbeat than I really was. "It's like a fairy tale, right? You save the princess, and then she takes you to her castle, and then you never have to worry about anything again."
"Yeah, it is,"
Miles sighed.
"I just wish this were the other kind of fairy tale, the one where everything went back to normal at the end."
I cocked my head to the side. It was weird to hear him say it out loud, the thought my conscious brain beat down every time it dared surface. What if my father took me back? What if he forgave me? What if my life could just go back to the way it was? I shoved the thought down, deep in the ocean of my consciousness. I didn't want to think about it. I turned to Miles to chastise him, but then I saw how exhausted his eyes looked, how worn and broken. He wasn't as sad as I was. He was way worse. "Miles?" I reached out and put my hand on his shoulder, giving him a light squeeze. He actually startled. I guess it was weird for us to touch, not something that happened often, but he just looked so broken. "I'm sorry. I wasn't being sensitive. You lost so much more than I did."
"Did I?"
"Well, yeah.
I mean, you were actually close with your mother. And she was going to legitimize you at some point, right? You were going to be the lord of House Hampstead. That's a hell of a thing to look forward to. I shrugged. What did I have to look forward to? That great rainy day when my father finally decided to disown me, so I could accept my lot in life as a servant once and for all? A silence hung over us. Miles looked at me with an odd expression.
You don't know, he said softly. You really have no idea.
Don't know what? Miles shook his head. He looked sad still, but it was a different kind of sad, one I couldn't read.
You weren't going to be a servant, Tilla. That was never their plan for you.
I pulled my hand back. The mood had changed in an instant. What are you talking about, Miles? Whose plan? Our parents? Miles closed his eyes. When he spoke, it was stilted, choppy, like he was struggling with each word.
I heard them talking. A few years ago. Mother made me swear not to tell a soul. She said it would jeopardize everything if I did.
I could tell this was hard for him, like he was on the cusp of revealing something that had been eating at him for ages. But I was impatient, and his slow roll was pissing me off.
Miles, what the hell are you talking about?
No point keeping a secret for a woman who wants me dead, right?
Miles laughed, a brittle, bitter laugh that sounded wrong coming from him.
You're right, Tilla. I was going to get legitimized. But Mother got tremendous leverage out of not having an heir, of men thinking they actually had a shot at wooing her and fathering the child who would lead the house. It was politics, plain and simple. On the day before my 18th birthday, I was to become the heir to House Hampstead.
He paused for an intolerably long time before finally getting it out.
And you were to be my wife.
What?
I jerked away.
Don't screw with me, Miles. Don't make things up. I'm not making anything up.
He actually sounded kind of indignant.
Our parents had it all planned out. Your father cared about you, Tilla. He couldn't legitimize you, of course, not without causing a huge scandal. But this way, he'd ensure you were the lady of a noble house, his most loyal ally, and I'd be with someone my mother trusted.
He said it so casually like this was no big deal, just some business thing, and not the most important turning point of our whole damn lives. It was their way of merging our families, I guess, looking out for both of us.
Looking out for us?
I stood up and turned away. My stomach roiled. I felt like I was going to pass out. Too many thoughts spun through my head at once, colliding against one another. This was proof of what I'd hoped for so desperately all along, that my father actually cared about me, that he thought about me, that he wanted me to stay in his life one way or another, even after I turned 18. He'd had a plan for me, and that plan was giving me exactly what I wanted. I was going to be a noble woman, officially, with a title and a castle and a last name. Except that name was going to be Hampstead, not Kent, and I'd be with Miles, Miles of all people, forever, as his wife. Second to him, sleeping with him, having his kids. And my father had apparently just decided this years ago and hadn't ever bothered to tell me. Like my thoughts on it didn't matter? Like I was just a pawn to be handed off to another house? And how much of this was just politics anyway? A handy way of keeping our two houses together? Was this even about me at all?
Tilla!
Miles called out.
I didn't mean to upset you, I thought you should know.
And my father?
I shot back.
When the hell was he planning to tell me? Did I even get a say in this?
Miles looked stunned, like the thought of having a say never even occurred to him.
Would it have mattered?
A familiar, hurt look settled on his face.
Am I that pathetic to you, that you'd sooner stay a bastard than marry me?
What? No, it has nothing to do with that.
I felt bad for insulting him because, yeah, that was kind of a harsh blow. But then that just made me madder. Of all things right now, with this insane revelation dropped on me, I was supposed to worry about his feelings. Then it hit me. Miles had known about this. All this time we'd spent together over the last few years, he'd known this, had this secret hidden away like a card up his sleeve. I'd known he had a crush on me, of course, but I thought it was harmless, a childhood puppy dog crush that never went away. But that wasn't it at all. All this time he'd just been, what, biding his time, waiting patiently, like I was the dessert he got for finishing his vegetables? You knew. You knew all along, and you didn't tell me anything? The color drained from Miles's face.
I just assumed that you knew, too. That it was, I don't know, an open secret.
He took a step toward me, and I sharply pulled away.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
No, Miles. You should have said something. A long time ago. I stomped off down the coast, not even caring where I was going. You can keep your stupid berries! My head spun as I walked. I could hear Miles behind me calling himself stupid, clasping his head in his hands. And honestly, I didn't give a shit. He deserved to feel bad, at least for a little while. I kicked at a stone in my way, knocking it into the river, and for some reason that made me angry too.
Tilla!
A voice called from somewhere ahead. I jerked up to see Jax, Miles, and Liriana creeping on foot from the forest. Jax led the way.
We found an abandoned bridge, perfect to cross. Go get the horses and we'll...
He stopped, seeing my expression.
Are you okay?
I didn't even begin to know how to answer, how to sum up everything that had happened into one emotion. But before I could try, Zell stepped in front of Jax and flicked his arm toward me in an impossibly fast blur. I acted on pure instinct. My hand jerked up in front of my face even as I ducked back and winced. I felt a hard impact, but nothing hit me. I opened my eyes just barely and realized there was a smooth, round rock clenched in my hand.
What is wrong with you?
Jax yelled.
She caught it, didn't she?
Zell shrugged.
I knew she would.
I had. A Zatochi warrior had just hurled a rock at my head, and I'd caught it mid-air. Me! I'd just done that. Something totally badass and amazing. You know what? Screw Miles and my father and their plans. Screw Lightspire and titles and being a noble woman. Right now, the only thing I cared about was the stone in my hand.
Are you okay?
Jax asked.
Yeah!
I replied, and I couldn't hold back my smile. I'm just fine. Chapter 16. Our luck ran out the next day. We'd crossed the Markson via a rickety, half-collapsed bridge, and rode hard to get south the next day. We were starting to brush up against the foothills of the Frostkiss Mountains, and the terrain here was rockier, hillier than on the other side. Trees and grass gave way to stony pits and sheer cliffs. Riding out here was riskier. The steep hills meant we couldn't get as far from the big roads as we were used to. That meant we had to ride quietly. No games or jokes now. I didn't mind. It was as good an excuse as any to avoid talking to Miles. That morning, when the very first rays of the sun started painting the sky a rosy hue, we were in a narrow valley between two sloping hills. Right as we wove between a pair of oak trees, Zell sharply reared his horse and raised his fist in the air. The rest of us froze behind him. I tightened my grip on my reins. Zell looked back up the hill intently, his eyes narrowed. There was a distant twang and a whooshing sound, and then the shaft of an arrow appeared in the trunk of a tree a few inches from Zell's head.
Ride!
He screamed. After that, it was all chaos. I spurred Muriel as hard as I could, and she took off in a bolt, galloping through the dim light, leaping over stones and roots. Lyriana clutched me, shrieking as our horse jostled us painfully up and down. Branches whipped by our heads. We were moving too fast to see clearly.